B-Pod Studios.
How differently do y'all operate, you know, after everything that happened in L.A. when the NFL finds y'all into the draft pick? How differently, just from an entire, you know, as an entire franchise, do y'all function now than maybe you did before all that happened?
I mean, we always try to do everything the right way. You know, look, we're competitive, and we'll, you know, try to be competitive in every area, but I mean, we don't knowingly, intentionally want to do anything that crosses the line. But since that's happened, I'd say we've tried to keep a good distance behind the line and not maybe take it as far as we would might have in the past. But I mean, it's never really fundamentally changed there.
That was Belichick on with the Cincinnati media that week back in December. I just thought at least there was 10% of honesty there. You know, like usually we get zero. Usually it's one big bag of bull crap. There at least he said, we're looking for competitive advantages and we don't push it like we used to, you know. So there was some there, at least some sort of transparency there from Bill Belichick in that answer, Maz.
Oh, definitely. Look, and just the way he says it, right? We don't push it like we used to is, yeah, you know, we cheated in the past. Yeah, you bagged us. But this time we were doing it on the level. Like, so it's taken him years to do this. And even during the Deflategate nonsense, he showed resistance. And I say nonsense. The Deflategate scandal. He showed a resistance to it. If you remember when Jimmy Golan asked him about it, and he said, look, you know, there are 68,000 people in the stands. Or whatever it was, as if to say everybody can see the sideline. It's a stupid rule. And he resisted it then. At least on this occasion, he did say, you know, we don't push it like we used to.
So you want to weigh in on that? You can. You want to weigh in on Cam Newton? By all means, your reaction the whole rest of this hour. Paul in Rhode Island. Go ahead on Cam Newton.
Thank you for taking my call. I guess it's time to say, Jacoby's upset. You know, I mean, I wish Jacoby came here, but Winston, but. You know what? We have to admit that he lowered his price in Cam to fill Brady's shoes. I mean, a caliber fabricated quarterback. Why would Belichick not do it? You know,
Paul, as usual, I really don't know what you're talking about, but your comment line says the Pats needed someone like Cam Newton to follow Brady. And I did want to hit on that part, which is...
Well, maybe in regards to the marketing aspect.
I was thinking, can you handle the pressure?
Right.
You know, there's a... And I've talked about this a lot. Like, you've got to manage the next guy from Brady. You got to manage it.
Yeah.
And this is why I always thought there was a chance Hoyer would start. So then Stidham would be taking over for Brian Hoyer, not Tom Brady. Big difference. And the guy after Tom Brady is going to be held to an impossible standard that he's not going to be able to meet.
And I would think Cam Newton doesn't give a rat's ass that Tom Brady was the quarterback here for the last 20 years.
I just think Cam Newton has had such pressure on him, such a spotlight on him, he's been scrutinized so heavily for the last 10, 15 years of his life, whatever it is, that he could handle the pressure.
Right. What's the difference?
Yeah. So what? Like, I mean, you know, people have called me out for this, that, and the other. I've been hammered for this, that, and the other. I've been a polarizing figure and a lightning rod. Some people hate me for this. Some people hate me for that. I got an answer to this. I got an answer to that. So now I got to go to New England and follow Tom Brady. If I don't succeed, like, I don't know. I just think by this point, Cam Newton should have thicker skin or at least has experience dealing with the pressure and the scrutiny. And I wonder if that was part of Belichick's calculus, Maz.
Yeah, maybe. Look, again, it's because if you're Newton, again, what's the difference? You're going to get skewered either way. So who gives a rat's ass who the previous quarterback was? You're Cam Newton. You're trying to live up the standard that Cam Newton is, let alone Tom Brady. So I wonder maybe there is something to that. I think there's an element there of it anyway.
And maybe part of it is, maybe, you know, again, one of my big questions is, what happened? Was this always the master plan? Was this always the plan? And they had Cam Newton in their back pocket and they were just waiting for his price to go down before they executed it? Or did they see something in the last couple weeks with Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer that said and led them to say, what we have is not good enough? You know, they saw Stidham and they didn't like what they saw. Or they've been dealing with him and Hoyer and they're like, we just don't like the work they're putting in or the way they're going about it, or there's something, we don't like something here. And so now we have to go pull the trigger on Newton. And that's my question. What do you think it is, Miz?
So I think that I don't think it relates to necessarily like the way Stidham was throwing the ball, or I just think maybe they saw something that he doesn't get it yet. You know, they were discussing something and he made a comment, and I'm being very vague here and sort of.
Okay, is this an Apple Watch thing? Yeah, or are you just?
I'm just purely speculating. Nobody speculates like I do.
You're just positing a scenario.
Yeah, I am. I'm positive. Again, that
he said the wrong thing on a Zoom call.
No, that they were talking about some sort of offensive situation or something, and he made a comment, and then they went, you know what? This kid's not there yet. He's just not there yet.
And which is okay. Like, I don't mean to be sarcastic, but that's the only way they would. How else are you going to judge these guys? They're not on the field at team practices or OTAs or in the building. It's, you know, so was it, did they, you know, what did our guy Jimmy Stewart have?
Well, you know, so it was during a commercial break earlier. I was like, hey, you're a guy that you got. Do you hear anything, especially in regard to Stidham?
So you're texting Stu.
Yeah, I texted Stu. And then he tweeted, feels like the Patriots haven't been satisfied with Stidham throughout the offseason. The wedding trip didn't help. And Hoyer is Hoyer. The price with Newton finally came down to where it's all reward and no risk. And then he followed that tweet with, don't discount the marketing aspect of Cam Newton.
Okay, so let's take out the marketing thing for a second. Feels like the Pats haven't been satisfied with Stidham this offseason.
Mm.
So that's what I wonder. It's a tough thing to report out because you got to get it from Belichick or someone inside who's then going to have to criticize Stidham. But
well, given the reporting by some of the cartel members since last offseason, I've never seen a rookie quarterback look this good in Patriots camp before. Oh my God, this is the guy. We've had this shoved down our throats for a year, and then this happens? So, I mean, I have to believe that all that Stidham information was coming from Belichick or someone high in the organization, and now this. So, yeah, it leads me to believe something happened here. Or they looked at something and said, no, not this year. He ain't ready. And
I mean, look, maybe it's as simple as they thought he was assuming he had the job or something like that, and they don't like that vibe. I remember when this all went down initially and Brady left and all those reports of, well, they're not going to hand the job to Jared Stidham. They're going to make him work for it. And, you know, there's all this stuff about Stidham. And then it felt to me like that sort of changed. And all of a sudden was Jared Stidham is the plan. Like, that's Chris Sims. Stidham is the plan. And I don't know, maybe the Patriots got to a point where they said, this kid's not responding the way we wanted him to respond. We wanted him to be a little bit more of a go-getter, like, it doesn't matter what I'm hearing, I'm going to commit, I'm going to fully invest, and I'm going to win that job. And they didn't get what they wanted, and they went out and said, all right, the price on Newton came down, we'll do it. But, you know, Mike, you asked a question earlier. Was this their plan? And I refuse to believe Cam Newton was their plan.
Why?
With the way it went down. Because if Cam Newton's your plan, you sign him earlier for a little bit more money. You do, and then you don't franchise Joe Tooney. Now, I understand they got him for a better deal, but they let Dalton go by the boards. And if you remember in the early reports, I think Schefter said something to the effect of, well, the Patriots will do what they always do. They'll sit back, and they'll see what shakes out. Well, that means it could have been anybody. Cam Newton could have ended up in with the Chargers or who knows wherever else. And so the fact that he didn't was some good fortune from the Patriots standpoint. And they could just as easily have ended up with Andy Dalton. My point is, if the plan was let's see what shakes out, well, then I'm not giving him credit for Cam Newton.
Well, that's not much of a plan. I mean that's no plan. That's just saying
we'll take what's left.
Exactly. That's not a plan. So, I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but to me, it's significant if the job was Stidham's and he did something to lose it here in the last couple months, which I don't know what it could be, given there's no practices and no building access and all of this. But, you know, they're skirting the rules to some degree. All teams are, you know, not to back to the cheating thing. But, you know, what can you glean in this kind of offseason? And in that gleaning, what did Stidham do or not do?
Well, again, Jimmy tweets, the wedding trip didn't help.
Okay, so that I wonder about. Yeah, I didn't like that either. What are you doing going to weddings in Texas? Now is not the time to be going to weddings in Texas, jackass.
Or Texas.
Okay, period.
Given the numbers.
Like, never mind COVID. But, like, just this is your chance. It looks like the team likes you. It looks like you have a chance to take over a good team and play for Bill Belichick. Get your ass on the field and don't leave it. Get your ass in the gym and don't leave it. And it's like, that's all I want to hear from Jared at this stage of his career. I don't want to hear about the cosmetics with the wife and the wedding in Texas. And I don't want to hear anything other than he's just balls to the wall to win the job. And maybe he was less than balls to the wall. I mean, I have no idea. So, it's either one or two things. Something happened here in the last couple of weeks as it relates to Stidham and Hoyer, or they wanted Newton on day one and they were just waiting for his number to come down. And on June 28th, 29th, for whatever reason, Cam Newton finally said, okay, my number's down. I don't know why it would take so long when the whole market had played out. It had been played out for weeks. I mean, everyone was gone, right? Winston was off the table. Mm-hmm. Mariota was off the table. They were all gone somewhere. And so Newton was the last guy. He's been the last guy standing for weeks. So what was he waiting for? So you wonder if it was something with Stidham. And that to me is the story. Let's go back to these telephone calls. Our buddy Tony's in Stoneham. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
You guys finally got a good shot of winning our bet for lunch. But now that Newton's here, I'll tell you what happened. They waited until they could get a quarterback. I don't think they ever planned on Stidham to be the quarterback this year. He's given him no reason to. And we got a good deal with Newton for this reason. He's like Brady. He's got an Edelman in place of McCaffrey. And other than that, he's got nothing. So let's see what happens. But you know, I think he makes the Patriots a contender this year.
Okay. Oh, he definitely makes him a contender.
So then all those stories that we had shoved down our throats by the media cartel for last year was just one big lie then. So, I mean, that's another takeaway to me. If that's the case, they were just waiting this whole time. It was a lie. It was an absolute lie, and Bill had his way with those guys, and now he just threw a wad of 20s on the nightstand.
So not just that, the Patriots were steering their local guys away from Cam Newton for months.
Correct.
I mean, how many times? Poor Tom Kern. If I were Tom Kern, I'd be pissed. Because the team must have told him on 18 different occasions, forget about Cam Newton. Forget about Cam Newton, because Tom Kern has done nothing but write and say, Cam Newton has no chance to come here. It's stupid. Stop talking about it. Like, I've talked to people. I've run this by. I've run up the flagpole. They keep telling me there's no shot. It's silly to keep talking about it. And, like, that's been Kern's thing for months.
If I was those folks, I'd be pissed.
It's like, why do you got to do me like that? Unless they were telling the truth at the time and something happened here at the last moment, in the last days or weeks, for the team to say, you know what? Our plan's not working. Stidham's not ready. Hoyer's not good enough. We've got to go to plan B or whatever. He's still sitting there. Let's just go do it.
So this is why, to me, ultimately, the most significant takeaway is they have some doubt about Jarrett Stidham. They have doubt. And so they decided to go with Cam Newton because they don't know what Stidham's going to be, whether it's now or beyond now. They don't have a clue. I'll tell you the other one I love, if you remember, that leading into this, wow, Hoyer's the best they could do. Hoyer's the guy they're going to bring in behind Stidham. And you know what the argument we heard was? Yeah, they want familiarity with the system. It's COVID. You can't have camp, right? Oh, so what do? You bring in a guy who hasn't run anything remotely close to your offense, who's been in the league for 10 years, and now you bring him in, and all of a sudden, the continuity doesn't matter now anymore. Right? The continuity is out the window. So it's because it's Cam Newton, everything. So it's like all this stuff that was coming out along the way cannot have been all bullcrap. It had to be, or just made up. It had to be coming out of Foxborough in some way, shape, or form. And so I think that they woke up at some point and said, we haven't seen enough in the off season here from the kid in terms of attitude that really makes us think that he's ready or that, you know, he's prepared to take this on. Let's pull the trigger on something else.
Or
to me, that's what it is.
Bill has taken a look at social media of a certain quarterback recently and realized he's awakened a sleeping giant in Tampa and said, oh, crap, I got to be better than him. You know, so I'm motivated, too, but I can't do it with these two stiffs. I'm going to go sign Cam Newton.
Oh, I hope you're right. I love that one. It's juicy, that one. He's afraid of Brady upstaging him, and he's looking down in Tampa and seeing how hard Brady's working, how good they look, and how hyper-motivated Brady is, and says, I'm not going to let him steal the stage. I'm not going to let him have his day. No, no. We got to keep pace with Tommy Boy, and so here comes Cam Newton. Love that story. I hope you're right on that. Meanwhile, when I ask you about Cam Newton, what's the first thing that jumps into your mind? What defines Cam Newton, and will he ever live it down? We'll pick up that right after these words.
You can listen to Felger and Mazz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's a third and nine. Rushing four, ball comes out of the hands of Newton. It's on the ground, and it's still on the ground. Picked up by T.J. Ward at the four-yard line. Vaughn Miller did it again. He knocked it out of the hands of Newton.
Cam Newton decides not to dive in there. And
yeah, he backed away from it. He jumped away instead of jumping into the pile.
Yep, I guess he made a decision it wasn't worth to go in there and get it. Should have dove in, had a chance to recover it.
Cam, that last fumble there, have you gone over that play in your mind and if you could have done anything different?
What would you want me to do?
People are saying that you should have jumped in the pile, but you didn't. And so what do you remember what you were thinking at that moment?
Okay. I didn't get the fumble, but we can play tit for tat. I see numerous quarterbacks throw interceptions, and their effort afterwards, they don't go. I don't dive on one fumble because the way my leg was, it could have been contorted in a way. Okay, you say my effort. I didn't dive down. I fumbled. That's fine. But at the end of the day, that game wasn't built off of. We didn't lose that game because of that fumble. I can tell you that.
So we talked about this earlier. Is that fumble in Super Bowl 50 and not going after the ball? Like 5 minutes left. They're down 6 points, only six. And Cam Newton, and then the way he handled it after the game as well. He completely shut it down in the postgame press conference. Wouldn't answer questions. And that was the next day, I think, back in Carolina. He still didn't take ownership of it. At that whole story, does that define Cam Newton, Murray?
Yeah, it's the biggest game he's ever played in his career. And what happened there, I think, is inexcusable and embarrassing. And, yeah, that wasn't the whole game. But like you just said, if they recover that ball and they hold the Broncos to a 3-0, because, again, that's, you know, the shell of Manning in that game. So that's plausible at that point when the second half they were doing nothing. They hold them with a 3-0. Newton and the Panthers would have the ball with something like 3 minutes remaining, down six. And he looked at it and was like, eh. So, yeah, I think it's a stain on his career. And he can change that. Say he comes here and he wins a Super Bowl and he's the MVP of it. Okay, it all goes away. But for now, yeah, I think that is the play that defines his career.
What do you think, Mass?
I mean, I worry about the guy's mental toughness and his compete. That's what I worry about. Because the physical toughness, look, the guy's a monster. I mean, he's a freak in nature. And so he'll put his head down and go for an extra yard and all that. I don't, you know, I'm not worried about that. But when I see a guy talk about a fumble in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl and his unwillingness to jump on it, and he sounds like he's talking about a week five game against the Atlanta Falcons. That to me worries me because he says, well, okay, you know what? So we're going to focus on one fumble. Dude, it was the Super Bowl. The season was on the line. You were 15-1, two playoff wins. You were 17-1. You were 14-0 going into week 16. You had a chance at an undefeated, all of this, all of it. And you don't jump on a fumble in the Super Bowl. He'd given up by then. And I worry about, that's what I worry about with Cam Newton.
Sure. And unfortunately, that's what he's defined by right now. He's got a chance to rewrite it. He's got to get back there or have some other things happen in his career that make people forget it. But just one play, one game. Yeah, it's sort of the way it works. I mean, how would you define Jimmy Garoppolo right now? And I would say he missed Manny Sanders over the top in the fourth quarter with a chance to salt away the Super Bowl, and he blew it. And that's kind of not fair because he's done a lot of other good things in his career, and he's a good young quarterback. But that's how you're defined. That's the way that game works. That's how Scott Norwood, and that's a, you know, really more a striking example, but that's just the way that game works. That's the final exam. You're in that spot, and that's how you're defined until you rewrite it. And if Cam Newton never gets a chance to rewrite it, that's how he's going to be defined, unfortunately for him. But I don't think it's undeserved because he was sure willing to put it in your face that whole year and his whole career. I mean, he's someone that when things are going well, he celebrates like no one you've ever seen. And so you got to be, are you just a front runner? You know, can you grind it out when things get tough? Can you take the loss? And can you do, you know, still play hard and stick your nose in there? And in that spot, he proved that he couldn't.
So, and that was the other thing, too, that irked me about it. It's not that you just didn't dive on the ball there in the biggest game of your life. It's that afterwards you acted like a petulant child and a baby about it. After the whole year, it was, hey, look at me, I'm the MVP.
So petulant child and baby, you know, again, Bill Belichick shouldn't hold against him because Bill Belichick is the biggest petulant child and baby in postgame press conferences we've ever seen. So I know Bill doesn't care about Cam Newton after the Super Bowl, and nor should he. He'd be the biggest hypocrite in the history of the world if he judged Cam Newton for not owning his mistake after that game. That's Bill. That's something Bill's going to have to accept because Bill does that just about every time himself. But the actual act of not sticking his nose in there?
Scary.
Yeah. Yep. And so he's going to have to rewrite that legacy for it to change. So there's your thought on that. Back to your phones here as promised. Mark's in New York. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. You got to think that Josh McDaniels is loving this move right now, and I'm curious how much of a role he played in it. This is the same guy who drafted Tebow, was in love with Lamar Jackson leading up to the draft, and I think that's all the more reason that, going back to your earlier point, the Patriots are going to work their playbook around Cam and not vice versa.
Okay, so this I really look to Bill more than Josh McDaniels, but put Josh McDaniels on the list. I think McDaniels is here when he's been with Belichick, has done well with other quarterbacks, and there is sort of, it feels like, some breadcrumbs there that Josh wants a more athletic guy. And I just think it would be stupid to try and shoehorn Cam Newton into what they were going to do with Stidham and Hoyer, you know, especially Hoyer. But Stidham and Hoyer, I mean, those were going to be system guys. They were going to play the offense. They were going to basically take care of the football and get it to the punter and play defense. Like, that was going to be the game plan with those quarterbacks. You don't bring in Cam Newton to do that. You got to let him play. And I think they are. I think they will, and they should turn him loose.
I do think that McDaniels likes the idea of having a guy like that. I mean, it just gives you, as a coordinator, as an offensive coordinator, it gives you more options. You can get a little more creative and a guy that can move around a little bit.
Well, he drafted Tebow. He worked out Lamar Jackson. Yeah, he's probably, you know, still trying to get it down after this signing.
Brian in the car. Go ahead, Brian.
So I think, you know, a lot of the calls and your guys' conversation today has kind of been about, you know, whether or not this is an issue with confidence in Stidham or just, you know, a competitive thing with Belichick and Brady. I guess my question to you guys is kind of as a third option here. If the Pats end up falling in line with what a lot of people think they'll be, which is along the third or fourth best team in the AFC, and let's say they have like an 11-5, 10-6 type season with Newton, and, you know, you lose a tough competitive division around game, let's say to Kansas City or something along those lines, is there any chance that Belichick will look at this as a longer-term option than he's looking at it now? And likewise, is there any chance Newton, you think, would be receptive to taking something less than a massive deal to stay?
Okay. How would you feel about Cam Newton as the long-term answer, providing he'd play ball on the contract? Because I think we all agree the Pats aren't going to want to pay $35 million a year for anyone, never mind a 31-year-old guy. But let's say Cam Newton's willing to fall into line with the, you know, the Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers range, $25 million a year. And you could have him for the next 2, 3, 4 years after this into his age 34 season, and that's your long-term play at quarterback.
And he's
no, my instinct is no.
Why?
Because lots of reasons. One, I think that you've got Newton in a good spot right now. You've got him leveraged. He has to buy in. I think that his instinct is to be Cam Newton first and a member of the Patriots second. And so the Patriots have had, you know, I don't want to say players like him, but personalities like him before. And those guys tend to be short-term, you know, effective rentals, for lack of a better description. And once you commit to them, they tend to lose interest because they get their money and they get everything they want. And so my instinct on Newton is you use him, he uses you, see you later. I'd rather be grooming a young guy for the longer term.
I'm into it as long as the health isn't a factor. I mean, you're going to be a competitive team. Like, again, if he's healthy, you know, you're a 10-11 team, 10-11 win team going forward.
You don't think if Cam Newton gets back to his prime, Murray, he's not a Super Bowl quarterback?
Hey, it could be. Yeah, potentially, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm into that for the next 3 or 4 years if it all works out.
So my instinct, too, would be no, that it's not going to work long term. That, you know, the best spot is a motivated Newton who will be willing to subjugate himself to the team because it's best for him in the short run to have the best year to set himself up going forward, etc. Is he a long term fit? I mean, if Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski were no longer fits on the team, like if Bill was too mean for those guys, how's Cam Newton going to make it here under Bill Belichick?
He's not.
For more than a year. I mean, like it's not just a Cam Newton. Bill didn't let anyone have fun. So are you able to handle that over a long period of time? No fun?
No way. No. And Mike, let me just ask you a question quickly. Do you regard Cam Newton as a winner?
No.
See, I don't either. I'm not telling you he's a loser. Okay, I'm not telling you he's a loser.
I mean, that's not fair. He did win a national championship, and then he came to the NFL and went to a Super Bowl. It's like, no, you're making a face, Maz.
Okay, but what the hell does the national championship have to do with anything?
Yeah, you won something.
Okay, but college. Like, who gives a rat's ass?
He was surrounded by crap that year, too, though.
Oh, I don't care. It's college. Good God. You can rattle off a million college players who've won. It doesn't count for squat. So Cam Newton's been in the league for 9 years. He's got three winning seasons. Three. As a quarterback in that league. Three winning seasons.
Is that right?
Yep.
Wow.
12-4, 15-1, 11-5. Every other year he's been under 500. Now, last year was only 0-2, but 9 years in the league, three winning seasons. And so there's something about that that I don't like. And so to me, it indicates some sort of, you know, lack of focus or inconsistency, or call it whatever you want. But not a guy whose number one priority is to just go all out, balls to the wall. Now, look, again, 1 year, no problem. I'm in. Fine, but this is why I don't commit to him long term.
Okay, one more segment of your wonderful phone calls after Murray's update here on a Re-entry Monday, Maz, which is presented by East Boston Savings Bank.
Yep, maybe you're looking to refinance a home mortgage or commercial real estate property, or maybe you are just looking for a free checking account. Visit EBSB.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray.
Colin Coward of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Mazzarotti.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5 to Sports Hub.
Somewhere I picture that Bill Belichick is smiling, maybe even giggling someplace. And this seems like, I mean, one of the all-time low-risk, high-reward moves made by the Patriots.
Steven, we said this all along. The Patriots are just the type of team to sit back, wait for the market to settle, and then, when there's not a lot of action, move in and get somebody like Cam Newton, the former NFL most valuable player, signed to a one-year deal. And that's exactly what happened here. There was not a strong market for Cam Newton's services. There was very little market for his services. And so New England was monitoring his outlook all along. And then in late June, it steps in there. There have been some conversations going on in recent days and gets done a one-year deal. I think ultimately Cam Newton recognizes he's not going to land an outright starting job. He's not going to get one of these $30-plus million-a-year jobs that other quarterbacks get. And he's got to take the best deal with the best opportunity that he can find. What better opportunity than to go to a Super Bowl contender in New England that just lost Tom Brady and try to replace the greatest quarterback of all time in an offense that's hummed the last 20 years with Brady at the helm.
Schefter breaking the news last night. Let me ask you, Maz. You're the Indianapolis Colts. Would you rather have Phillip Rivers this year or Cam Newton?
Ooh. Oh, tough one. I would say for their offense, you know what? Newton. I'd rather have Newton.
Me too. He's a better player.
Yeah.
Newton.
Better player.
Rivers sucked last year.
He really does. Rivers doesn't have much left. The only thing I'll say is that Rivers does have the ability, or has demonstrated the ability, to sort of throw to a spot, which I'm amazed sometimes that he can still do given how little arm strength he has left. But I'd take Newton there. Absolutely.
If you're the LA Chargers, would you rather have Tyrod Taylor or Cam Newton?
Newton.
Oh, Cam Newton.
Not even close.
So dumb that they should have been the team that signed him.
If you're the Chicago Bears, would you rather have Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles or Cam Newton?
Oh, Cam Newton.
Maybe Foles. Foles, to me, has got potential there. You know, he can play error-free, and they may not need as much.
Newton.
So,
Newton.
Foles, I don't know. Foles, to me, is a little different.
Yeah, coming off a bad injury, though. And don't they still have to give him a ton of money?
Newton. So if,
that's true.
So if I were Cam Newton, I'd be a little pissed. I'd be pissed at the Panthers. Remember, when this was going down, he was still under contract by the Panthers. He wasn't a free agent. He just became a free agent after they released him. But didn't they release him late in the game after a lot of these musical chairs had already been filled?
I can't speak to that.
You know, so, I mean, I think the Panthers did him dirty. If he were in this free agent class with these other guys, I don't know. And you're taking Phillip Rivers, Tyrod Taylor, Nick Foles over Cam Newton? So hopefully Cam Newton's pissed. Hopefully Cam Newton is out to prove to the league what he really is. and you get him together with Bill Belichick. You have a highly motivated player who wants 1 year, put it all on the table to get that next contract, and it all works out for everybody. I mean, that's ideally that to me is the most fascinating thing about this whole thing, that you'll have Cam Newton at his absolute best. That is absolute best. Yes.
So free agency started March 16th. He was cut on the 24th.
So, you know, you say the Panthers did him a little dirty, but I don't know. If these teams were so interested in Cam Newton, they also could have waited. They also could have gone behind the scenes to figure out that he wasn't going to make it in Carolina. I don't know. I just, if you're the LA Chargers, and I mean, are you tanking? Because if you're tanking, Tyrod Taylor might be even a little too good for that. I mean, you should do what they're doing in Jacksonville with Gardner Minshew or, you know, something like this to make sure that you're really tanking. But you're going to win a few games, I think, with Tyrod Taylor. I don't know.
Still, though, you're going in that new stadium.
Yeah. You're bringing an MVP, a guy who, you know, like, I don't know. That, to me, seems like an easy one.
And well, so they did drafted the kid from Oregon, right?
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. Right, that's right. That's
Justin
right.
Herbert, yeah.
So, but even so, I mean, look, that's a little bit more of a project. You certainly could have brought Newton in for the transition and drafted a guy, too. Like, I would never rule that out and do what the Patriots have done, which is use Newton in the short term, you know, develop the kid, and then, you know, and then put the kid in there when he's ready to go. There were lots of places I could have had this guy that didn't take him. And so I do, when Murray said this earlier, I do wonder if a lot of people in the league look at Newton and say, this guy's had the snot kicked out of him, and he's all but cooked. And, you know, it is a Belichickian type of thing to swoop in and resurrect the guy.
Well, so there was another stat that I haven't mentioned yet. I don't know where they got it from, but they looked at quarterbacks.
How many times a guy was hit?
Contacted, okay? Yep. Again, I don't know where they get these contacted numbers from, but when they look at players contacted, since here it is right here, right? Newton has been contacted 1,318 times since 2011, including playoffs. That's the most among quarterbacks over that span. So he has been hit, and I assume that means sacks, quarterback hits, tackles, all the running he does, has been contacted 1,300 times since 2011, the most of any quarterback over that time. So when we, you know, we were talking before, not jumping on the fumble, I think Cam Newton is tough to, you know, in a certain respect, he's shown tremendous toughness. He's taken a tremendous beating and has played through a lot of these bumps and bruises and injuries that he's had. So I think he's tough in that respect. Is he mentally tough? Is he competitively tough? Like, that's sort of another thing. Or is he more of a front runner? That's a different question. But I think physically, he's proven he can take a beating. The question is, has he just gotten beaten up?
Or he's shell-shocked from it or something, yeah.
Yeah, taken too much of a beating. And so, don't you remember when they first put in that concussion rule, there was a hit he took that was absolutely brutal, indisputably a concussion, and there was no flag. And this has been one of his sort of criticisms or complaints of the league.
That they don't protect the running quarterback.
Right, especially a guy his size. That whether it's him or Roethlisberger, that because they're bigger, you think they can take hits more than a traditional quarterback would. The other thing is, when you were reading off that stat, Mike, of the number of times he's been contacted, I think ESPN also said the gap between him and the next closest guy in the list was like over 200 hits.
Is that right?
Right. So the gap between him and everyone else is huge. Now, a lot of this is because he runs and he doesn't shy away from contact because he's as big as he is. But I just think the guy's taken a beating, and maybe the year off last year will end up helping him.
Okay, let's zip through some calls here before we hit the final word. Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. So, you know, I know people can evolve, but I have to say I remember that press conference that Newton had after he lost the Super Bowl, and I just cringed when he walked off the stage, because you say what you will about Brady. I mean, he always conduct himself with the proper form of deportment, and I like that. So, I mean, I'm just not sure, you know, what his attitude's going to be like here in New England. But I had another thought as well. I find it interesting that those Newton and Brady are two high-end quarterbacks, and they looked around the league, and nobody wanted them. And Brady ended up in Tampa, and now Cam's coming here. And I know Brady's motivated in Tampa, and I think Newton's going to be motivated here. But I do find it interesting that nobody wanted them.
It's true, Mary. Like, put him in the same boat. I mean, Brady's market was, I thought, way low. I think there should have been way more teams in on Tom Brady than there were. Who's more motivated, Brady or Newton?
Oh, I think Brady. Far. Yeah, I mean, at least just based on what we've seen.
Who's got more to play for, Brady or Newton?
Newton.
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 He does.
And I just want to, you know, so I didn't like how Newton handled that whole thing after that Super Bowl. But to be fair, and I'm a Brady Bobo, how did he act after some of those games last year?
How does Belichick act after losses? Yeah, biggest
loss wins again. Week three, Buffalo. They win the game, and Brady acts like they lost the damn thing.
Oh, so Brady, you know, yes, but I'm just talking about being a bad loser or not being able to handle.
Oh, Bill's brutal.
A defeat. Yeah.
Bill's the worst loser ever.
Worst I've ever seen. So you know the Cam Newton thing after that Super Bowl, Bill's going to have to forgive. Dave in Plymouth. Hi, Dave.
Mike, you are honest to God, really the biggest hypocrite on radio. You are, because in one segment you are saying how Belichick, this master manipulator, he's in Cincinnati, and hey, if you get something on the sideline, give it to Ernie. But in the next segment, you're talking about how Tommy Curran got played, okay? And as a beat writer, I guess he's throwing out smoke screens. And next thing you know, Tom should be mad. Mike, you were a beat writer for years, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So did you ever throw out a smoke screen for Pat Bonus or...
I'm sorry, for who?
Sorry, Rick Bonus, Pat Byrne.
Pat Bonus?
Bill, Pete. Sorry.
Oh, yes, 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 Dave. Of course I got played. Yes, we've all gotten played. We've all gotten used. And you get pissed. I'm just saying, you know, Tom's reporting is phenomenal. And so, like, when he says the team is not interested in Cam Newton, he's getting it from the team. So they were either, you know, misdirecting him, giving him a pile of bullcrap, or they were telling the truth and they just changed their mind here at the very last because they didn't like what they were seeing in Stidham. That's all. It's not Tom Curran's fault. But yes, as reporters, we all get used. Get used and abused, except for Maz. Kevin and Quincy. Go ahead, Kevin.
This is a licensed prostitute.
Yeah. A padded bonus.
I think Cam Newton says more about the Hoyer as a real game quarterback than it does Stidham. I think Hoyer has great value as a mentor for the Patriot offense and the Patriot way, but he's not the guy you want to bring in when Stidham goes through his growing pains. In my opinion, Belichick will start Stidham as quarterback, and he may do great and win, but Belichick's not a coach who prepares for the upside. Belichick prepares for the downside.
Okay, so they're bringing in Cam Newton, but they're going to bench him. They're bringing in Cam Newton to have Stidham beat him out in training camp. This is just the one scenario that I'm not going to allow for. I think that would be so stupid. Cam Newton is trying to rehab his career and bank next year. He is a superstar who is used to all the trappings of the first overall pick and league MVP and the guy being the guy. He's not going to come here and accept being a backup. He's not going to take it well, in any respect. He's not going to take it well. That's not the kind of guy I want on my bench. Someone who fancies himself a starter and a star and a $30 million a year guy. You're asking for trouble if that's the case. If you want to have an open competition in camp, I'm fine with that. And if Stidham wants to beat him out, by all means, beat him out. Then you release Cam Newton.
Felger, what if they signed Newton? Bill signed him because he knew he was going to lose the third-round draft pick, and now he signed him, and he can trade
please.
Him.
Oh, please. Here we go. They love these comp picks. They love them.
Yeah.
How come all the Patriots fans that calls up and take their pants off every time they get a compensatory third-round pick, why don't you call up and blast them for giving that third-round pick away for cheating again? I mean, for every comp pick you get, you seem to give a couple away cheating. So why don't you call me up pissed off about the cheating as much as you get all horny for those comp picks?
I'll tell you, of all the commentary I've heard today, this one drives me the most insane. The idea that, Bill's getting the third rounder back that he lost because of the Bengals investigation. You idiots. They could have had two. They could have had both. They shouldn't have lost their own third. They could still have Newton and they'd get another third. That's the point. The point is you shouldn't have to make up for the pick, you donkeys.
And how many third-round picks did they have this year? I think they packaged their last two to move up to get some tight end that, like, what do they do with them anyway? Why do you still fixate on these compensatory third-round picks? The fans love them. Oh, they love them.
Only a Belichicklet would justify the cheating. I'm telling you, seriously. The little Belichicklets out there.
All right, the final word will come your way next.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's
Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Jim, nobody.
All right, one piece of throwback sound here in the final word today with the show being heavy on Cam Newton today. What with the news of the Patriots signing him to a one-year deal, we want to go back and relive why he will ultimately be good for business, especially for this show, because Cam Newton, all about fun. And there's a certain someone that hates all things fun.
CBS Sports Minute Jim Rome says, should the Steelers be happy or unhappy with Antonio Brown's front flip yesterday? A front flip, Cam Newton with his dances. Like, I don't know. I don't know where Rome's going here, but they bug me. Are you worried about your dances, or are you worried about scoring touchdowns and winning games? I can't stand that crap. Can't stand it. You know how consumed Cam Newton is with his dances?
What about Carson Palmer doing the X and, like, the suck it to the crowd last night, too?
Okay, but was that spontaneous, or did he... Like, Cam Newton comes in with, like, sort of pre-arranged dance routines.
Sports, it's supposed to be fun, Mike.
That, to me, is not fun. That's lame. That's lame. What dances are you going to do? Like, let's choreograph our dances? Cam Newton is worried about choreographing his dances. I was listening to Stephen A. earlier. He had some sort of dance for Tennessee. Like, someone has to explain it to me. But, like, that's what you're worried about. Your dance. Clown. Clown. Let's see what Rome has to say.
Right, I forgot about Rome.
I'm not... CBS Sports Minutes, too.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Totally forgot about it. Not into the dancing.
It's a sham. Yeah. I'm Jim Rome.
So, if not for this cornucopia of Patriots news, that was just, like, what a news dump from heaven. My only complaint is that they should have spread out the cheating and the Cam Newton thing. I could... You know, spend a month on each.
Right.
You know,
that would have been ideal.
We need it, right? So they combined them together, and so, you know, smartly they combine them, and the cheating thing gets buried a little bit. But if it wasn't for those two things, you know what I was prepared to spend most of the day on?
Oh, I know.
The NHL draft lottery.
Yeah.
Speaking of shams.
Spent a good portion of the Saturday show with Gasper on this. When I saw this pop up on social media Friday night, I had to look at it like three times, like, wait a minute. Team E, TBD won the draft. Huh? What's that mean? Because I forgot that they had installed this other lottery that they're going to do if one of these playoff teams won it, which is exactly what happened.
Yep.
And it's such, what a sham.
What a bleep show. So totally. Here you are. You have teams like Pittsburgh, Edmonton, good teams.
Toronto.
Good teams, Toronto. Teams that have a chance to win the cup. I don't know if I put Toronto on that list, but I think Pittsburgh definitely has a chance to win a cup. Or have the number one overall pick. It's like you can't have both. You can't give a team both. One or the other. Choose to go in the lottery or choose to go for the cup. But now they have a bunch of teams that have a chance for both. Never mind a team like Montreal. But let me ask you this. If you're Montreal. Now, again. The
number one pick.
The eight losing teams will be in the lottery for the first overall pick. So the eight teams that lose that little play-in round go into the NHL draft lottery with a chance to draft number one overall. If you are Montreal or Chicago, who are like the 12th team in each conference, do you want to win and go for the cup, or would you purposely lose and go into the NHL draft lottery?
Tank.
Yeah, you tank. I mean, based on anything I've read about this, Alexis Lafreniere, is that how you say it?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, he sounds like Sidney Crosby all over again. You tank. You try to get this draft pick. And it's rigged for this. That's what makes me so angry. Like, the percentage, this is just like the NBA lottery. I'm out on lotteries. Change this. Because if you're the Red Wings or Ottawa, you just got porked six ways to Sunday. He's going to end up with Montreal, the Rangers, or one of these other, marquee franchises.
So what is stupid is that they did it before the play-in round. They should have done this after the play-in round. Like, a team like Montreal, Chicago, that, you know, may not have a real chance to win the cup. You know, their chance to get Lafreniere or whatever is 12.5%, right? So they're one of eight teams. So those odds are 12.5%. Their odds are better to get the first overall pick than to win the cup, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you've just given those teams incentive to lose. You've given them incentive to lose and like a silver lining to lose. I don't mind the format. They just should have had the drawing after that preliminary round. But we could have done, 4 hours on that, but at least an hour on that. But now, no shot. It's all Cam Newton. It's all cheating. It's all this. So we'll be back tomorrow, too, to do more of it. Billy Lanny, Kristen Surnam, thank you again so much for doing it. We appreciate it. Maz, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yep, we'll milk the crap out of Cam for the next month and then hope sports come back.
See you guys tomorrow.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.